Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
A few hours ago, right before we started this edition of The Hump Show, I got this tweet from Ernesto. He's a huge listener. I hear from him every now and then, and I do appreciate that he is a fan of the show. Again, this is right before we started. Ernesto asked me, will you give your take about the Big Ten and Pac-12 postponement of sports and what's next for college football? I decided not to be a smartass, and instead I wrote back, if I don't, I might get a phone call from the boss. Yes, that is in fact the biggest story of the week, potentially of the month, though the month of August is full of humongous stories from the world of sports. We spent a good portion of the show talking about the ripple effects in college football, Big Ten, Pac-12. What happens next? What about the other conferences? What about the athletes? And no doubt we will have to keep answering these questions for the next few days and few weeks and few months. Will there be spring football? Will the Pac-12 allow its basketball teams to play? Because the Pac-12 has postponed slash canceled all sports through the end of 2020. I just want to get back to a day and a time where we actually have answers to our questions. But every day, even on a day like Tuesday, where we got some answers, we also generate infinitely more questions. Man alive. It was another surreal day in sports. From the Big Ten and Pac-12 announcements, which came, I kid you not, the Big Ten, at exactly the same time that my toilet was overflowing in my upstairs bathroom. So it was all happening at once. I wouldn't have woken up otherwise. Oh, it was awful. But both were awful. Seeing the Big Ten alert pop up on my phone and trying to clean up an overflowing toilet. It was awful. Just flat out terrible way to start my day because I had just woken up mere seconds before that. Oh my gosh. And you know, I don't believe in coincidence, so I think it could be a perfect metaphor for what was happening in college football. As if that weren't enough, Damian Lillard, he's not messing around, and he bleeping wants your respect. If you can read lips, you certainly could have seen that on the TV all by yourself, because no matter how many virtual fans they put up on the screens, when you got a close-up on a man who's locked in and scoring 61 points, well, you might get a treat. And how about Stanley Cup playoff history, which was happening at the same time that Lillard was going for 61 in the Orlando bubble? Wow. Don't ever, 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 ever tell me that sports are boring or there's nothing happening. I don't remember the last time that was actually the case. Even when sports weren't operating, every day a new proposal, someone else talking. I just, the ideas, the plans, the blueprints, and somehow here we are in the middle of August, and now it's a freaking free-for-all. It's just every minute something's happening. It's hard to keep up, but I am glad to have the job in which I'm supposed to keep up. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Thanks so much for tuning in. Good morning to you. Happy Hump Day, or for us, it's our Hump Show. We're inside the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. When you need an expert to help navigate the home loan process, Rocket can. If you would like to tweet me and ask me a really smart question like Ernesto. Well, you can do that on Twitter, A Law Radio, and then also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Many of you are sending me your reactions to the announcements that happened within about a half hour of each other. First from the Big Ten and then from the Pac-12. And the Pac-12 took it a step further. Not only did the Pac-12 postpone college sports in the fall, so all of their universities have now canceled their sports in the fall semester, but through the end of 2020, which impacts their men's and women's basketball.
This was an extremely difficult and painful decision that we know will have important impacts on our student athletes, coaches, administrators, and our fans. And I know nothing that we can say will ease some of that disappointment, especially for some of our seniors. But we're here today to announce the Pac-12 CEO group has decided to postpone all sport competition through the end of the 2020 calendar year. We cannot bubble our student athletes like pro sports can. We're part of broader campus communities. Student athletes are living with peer students on campus, interacting, and for the reasons that will be identified on here, you know, enough questions and concerns had been raised that and answers we need, more time we need, that we didn't feel comfortable moving forward.
Larry Scott, the Pac-12 commissioner, and the words that I heard over and over from both Larry as well as Kevin Warren in the Big Ten: uncertainty, risky, timing. These are all words that I heard over and over. It wasn't a unanimous decision in either conference. But in both cases, according to these commissioners, the Pac-12 and Big Ten did not feel like they had enough information. They weren't sure about their health and safety protocols. They didn't know if they could be applied uniformly across the board at their various campuses. And so that created an uncertainty. Can the rapid testing work for all of our athletes? Will our campuses all have access to rapid testing? Where does that come from? What does it look like? And then timing. Don't ask me what they've been doing the last few months. Maybe hoping that the virus numbers would go the other direction. But they felt like now they didn't have enough time to get their health and safety protocols in place. And so they didn't say it wasn't possible to play, but that there was enough uncertainty dealing with the risk and the medical ramifications that they didn't believe it was worth it to move forward, or that they had enough time to figure it out. Kevin Warren, who's the commissioner of the Big Ten, he admitted this was not unanimous. He admitted that there was a lot of dissension in the ranks. And no doubt you can figure out where those schools were and who the voices were. Nebraska's Scott Frost, and Nebraska as a whole, has continued to say that they're going to look for ways to have a college football season on their own. And Warren wouldn't address this idea of teams breaking off and finding their own schedules and doing their own thing for the 2020 season. He also referenced the fact that 6 days ago, we released our football schedule. I mean, this is just 6 days ago, which I think gave a lot of hope to the athletes. But ultimately, that was not a guarantee of anything.
We wanted to plan for a possible season, made it very clear that the season may not actually come to fruition. We felt it was important to plan to organize a schedule that if we were fortunate to play fall sports, and especially football, that we would have a schedule in place. But, you know, 6 days is 6 days. And I made it very clear also that this was a day-to-day situation. We just believe collectively there's too much uncertainty at this point in time in our country, and to really encourage our student athletes to participate in fall sports. And I take this responsibility seriously, and I will continually do everything in my power to make sure that we put our student athletes in a position to be empowered and to be elevated, but as people first and as students, and understand that also they're not professionals. These are amateur athletes, and they deserve an opportunity to be able to participate in a healthy and safe manner.
Certainly. More questions are generated just hearing these two commissioners talk. They both refer to campus life and that a bubble or a sequester situation is not feasible. It's not realistic. So then that begs the question immediately. If they are safe enough to attend class, safe enough to be on campus with all these other students, how are they not safe enough to play football? Unless there's this, and you want to talk about unrealistic, this idea that campus life is going to be 6 feet apart. It's going to be lived 6 feet apart, and everybody's going to be wearing a mask. That's not going to happen. Come on. Just because they're on campus doesn't mean that all young people are going to make the smart and wise decisions. And if you're following what's happening in our country, there are many cases in which there have been virus spikes or virus clusters because of house parties or because of young people getting together, which is why I keep coming back to structure, accountability. That's what sports offer, especially when there's a group of adults who are not only monitoring, but are on their butts the whole time. And so I said this last hour, there's no one perfect education solution. There isn't. But the debate will continue to rage. If it's safe enough for them to be on campus all together as a group, taking classes, living life, whatever activities they're engaging in, then how is it not safe for them to also play sports where they're going through daily testing and they're in an environment where there is much more accountability and discipline? I was always much more disciplined with my time and my decisions when I was studying and playing sports. And that's the case for a lot of young people. Left with a bunch of time on your hands, that's when we start to make dumb decisions, right? That's when we start to find ways to fill up the empty space. And so the idea that everybody else on campus would be safe, but not the athletes playing sports is just odd to me. Now, the other three Power 5 conferences, ACC, SEC, and Big 12, at this point are moving forward. They've decided they're not going to follow suit, at least not right now, with the Big 10 and the Pac-12. And we could kind of see the writing on the wall. Ross Dellinger covers college football for Sports Illustrated, and I saw this tweet from him that I thought was very explanatory. The decision among Big 12 leaders came down to the ramifications of not playing a season versus the risk of playing a season. And actually, he throws in another word in there, versus the uncertain risk of playing a season. So there's that word again. So for the Big 12 decision makers, the athletic department directors, the presidents, the commissioner, for them, the decision was, if we don't play a season, it affects mental health. There is no structure. They don't have the daily testing. They don't have access to the medical and the medical care, as well as the health and safety protocols, or they're not having to follow them. So those are the ramifications of not playing the season versus the uncertain risk of playing. And what happens if you try to forge ahead with a contact sport when the virus is not under control? And he quoted one Big 12 source that said, "These are tough decisions. I've never seen anything like this." So you can find Ross on Twitter. Has done a good job covering the Big 12 and its decision process. But at this point, the Big 12 is moving forward. So is the SEC. And Ed Orgeron, who is the coach of the champion LSU Tigers, he was a guest on Fox News. Coach O actually laughed. He was jovial, even though this is a difficult time. But he was asked about his conference and what happens with football.
I do know this. that the SEC is competing for our players to play. I do believe that we have the best protocol for our players. Our players feel safe on campus. We only have a few players that are sick right now. They get the best care. Our players want to play. I do believe the SEC wants to play. I have to give it to our commissioner for waiting to get the most information and to make the correct decision for our football team, and I do believe he will make that.
He's referring to SEC Commissioner Greg Sankey. So that's Ed Orgeron. As I mentioned, he actually laughed. One of the hosts on Fox News asked him, what about playing in the spring? And he wasn't to the point with his answer the way that Urban Meyer was. Urban Meyer's exact response was, no chance. So here's Coach O with the plan B of playing football in the spring.
There's no plan B here at LSU, man. We're going forward ahead.
It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. The ACC, in a response to everything that's happened over the last 48 hours, have actually, the individual schools have put their testing results out there publicly for people to see. And this is one reason why they're okay with going forward at this point, because a lot of their member schools, they've had the kids on campus going through practices and preparing for seasons, and they continue to get tested, and the test results are so positive. No, sorry, not positive for the virus. Positive as in, yay, that's good news. That was brilliant timing, Chris. So here's just a couple examples. Louisville tested 100 football players on Tuesday, no positive results. North Carolina and Pitt, zero positive results over the past month. Virginia, no positive results since July 24th. Boston College, completely negative for the virus in the last round of testing. And so as the ACC is responding, and remember, they were hoping even for non-conference games with the SEC, they're kind of putting it out there that we're pleased with the health and safety protocols, and our athletes are doing what is required of them to preserve this virus-free environment. There's also been a medical advisor, a chief doctor for the ACC, who is, I don't want to say disputing some of the findings of the other doctors, but is not seeing them or interpreting them in the same way. And so right now, it's the uncertainty again about the medical conditions, about the medical ramifications, about whether or not you can actually play a contact sport. And if you've got athletes that are asymptomatic, what about the testing? Yada, yada, yada. I mean, it goes on and on. So I understand there are more questions than answers. And so in that case, the uncertainty may lead some to believe it can't be done. But that's not a decision that was unanimous for either the Pac-12 or the Big Ten, and certainly for the Big 12 right now, even if they did waffle a little bit, they've decided to move forward for now. The SEC, the ACC, at least publicly, are not showing any signs of waffling, though, let's be honest, another day could change everything, as it has over the past 3 days. A lot of other big news and big moments in sports on Tuesday, but I'd love to hear from you on Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Two of the Power Five have broken off. They did not get their BFFs to go with them, but we're now down to, theoretically, fewer than 400 college football games that are on the schedule for the fall. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Keeps it in for Kucherov, right circle shot blocked. Rebound Sergachev, right circle, Kucherov shoots, blocked. Point high slot.
Shoot! Score! 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 Brayden Point! Brayden Point! Brayden Point! The Lightning win it! They win it in the fifth overtime! 3-2!
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Dave Mishkin on the Tampa Bay Lightning radio network. That was how the fourth longest playoff game in Stanley Cup history ended. Listen to this. Five overtimes, 150 minutes, 27 seconds before center Brayden Point became the answer to a trivia question. Now, this is an incredible rematch of a series last year. Why was it incredible? Well, for the Blue Jackets, they swept the President's Trophy winners. In 2019, the Lightning, they didn't have a meaningful game in the final month of the regular season. And then unceremoniously, upstart Columbus booted them from the Stanley Cup postseason. Well, it took five overtimes, but maybe a little bit of revenge exacted by Tampa Bay. And as I say, Braden Point is now the answer to a sports trivia question.
It's tiring for sure, but then it gets fun at some point. You know, I think, like I said, I don't know how many guys play in a game like that long, but it was an exciting one for sure. I thought both teams had good chances. That's only one win. They're a great team. They're working hard. We got a lot of work to do. Goalies played great. Guys were defending really hard. I don't know how many guys on both sides have been in a game that long, but that was something for sure.
Don't you love Braden's dedication? He didn't even bother to catch his breath before he did his Zoom call. I walked into the kitchen for maybe 15 seconds. I come back after the game-winning goal, and he's already in front of the camera and clearly was still out of breath. But amazing moment. The celebration, it was not subdued. They were exhausted, but they're still jumping up and down, cheering, yelling, probably relieved, too, that they weren't going to lose five straight playoff games to the Blue Jackets. And he mentions the goalies. Well, how about this piece of history? We call them nerd alerts around here. Blue Jackets goalie Jonas Korpisalo, a playoff record 85 saves. 85 saves. The Lightning themselves generated nearly 90 shots on goal. What? Crazy stuff. But I'll take it a little bit further because I love history. The last five overtime playoff game before Tuesday night, April of 2003. We did not have hockey in April this year. April of 2003 between the Mighty Ducks and the Stars.
That's nerd stuff.
Only the fifth in Stanley Cup playoff history to go at least five overtimes. And as I say, the fourth longest game in Stanley Cup postseason lore. Pretty cool. Congratulations to the Lightning. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. That's just game one. Columbus has had six games in 9 days. And really, you could say this would be seven games in 9 days because of the extra periods they played. And so now they have to find the gumption. My grandmother loves the word gumption. They have to find the energy. Really, it's adrenaline. I mean, it's mental toughness as much as it is pushing through the tired legs to get back on the ice. And also, did you know flex scheduling came to the NHL on Tuesday, believe it or not, because of the fact that they're sharing arenas in Toronto and obviously in Edmonton as well. They weren't going to have time to clean the arena, disinfect the benches, make sure the ice was clean quickly enough for them to then put the Bruins and Hurricanes out there on the ice. This was crazy. It had all kinds of dominoes dropping. But Boston and Carolina were now play at 11 o'clock Eastern time this morning. So 11 o'clock Toronto time. I mean, we're talking about just a few hours from now. At the same time they were skating into their fourth and fifth overtime, Damian Lillard was putting on a show in Orlando as the Blazers have now moved into the eighth place spot in the Western Conference.
Lillard hanging three. Damian Lillard got it.
Took it in, got the easy one over the top.
22 for Luka Doncic. The blow by and the corkscrew for Damian Lillard. He's got 53 points. Lillard, five to shoot. A minute and a half to play. That's a bomb!
Oh, my gosh!
Ridiculous!
The goals of Ian Eagle and Stan Van Gundy, the NBA on TNT, that last triple from Dame tied the game against the Mavericks with 90 seconds to go, and he was fantastic. 61 points. This is just after he had a 50-point performance a couple of nights ago, and he's put his money where his mouth is. He said, I am not going to Orlando. I am not hanging out in the bubble to play out the string. And now here they are. They've clinched not clinched anything. Sorry, they can clinch on Thursday if they beat Brooklyn. But they do now sit in the number eight spot in the West. So pretty incredible.
Oh, my gosh.
I love that reaction.
Ridiculous.
Lillard, 17 of 32. What are you, Russell Westbrook? He takes, Kobe takes 32 shots from the floor, but 9 of 17 from beyond the arc and perfect from the free throw line. He also has 8 assists to go along with his 61 points, and it was pretty sweet to watch. If you can read lips, he had a message for the rest of basketball and really for anybody who's paying attention about respecting me, but I paraphrase. There are some words that I can't say on this family program. If you missed my conversation with Brian Wheeler, who spent years calling Blazers games and, of course, watched Damian Lillard from the beginning, good stuff with him about Dame's loyalty, his work ethic, and how he actually does mean what he says. And so you can check that out on our podcast from our first hour of the show. He joined us from Portland. After hours, AmyLawrence.com. One other cool historical moment in sports from Tuesday night.
The pitch to Shaw. Swinging a line drive. Base hit. Ball game over. RBI game-winning base hit by Travis Shaw, driving in Anthony Alford for a 5-4 walk-off win in downtown Buffalo.
The Blue Jays in downtown Buffalo, first major league game in the city of Buffalo since 1915, and it finishes in walk-off fashion. So the Blue Jays edge the Marlins in the 10th, Travis Shaw with the RBI single. And you hear the call with Ben Wagner on the Toronto Blue Jays radio network. But how cool is that? They finally get to settle into Buffalo. And actually, many of the Blue Jays said they were really impressed with the improvements that had been made to the stadium to make it more like Major League digs. And this is now their home away from home. But I love the nerdy part of this. First Major League game in Buffalo since 1915. All kinds of crazy history that we had in sports on Tuesday. I guess I should mention, too, that the history with Dame is that he has 3 60-point games this season now. Only Wilt Chamberlain has ever done that before. So we've got Buffalo baseball, Dame and Wilt hanging out in the same elite company, and the 4th longest Stanley Cup playoff game in history. Oh, and 2 of the Power 5 conferences canceled football. Seriously. Anything else? Oh, yeah, there's more. There's NFL. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. There's always NFL. Also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. It's good to hear from you. Good morning.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
We're disappointed. We really are. We felt that we have put in place outstanding protocols here, as our student athletes share. So we felt that it was a possibility. So wish we could have had a little bit more time to evaluate, but we certainly understand that this was the time that we had to pull the plug.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
The voice of Ohio State Athletic Director Gene Smith, he told the Big Ten Network he believed they had the safety protocols in place. He believed they had the right process. But ultimately, the Big Ten commissioners and, well, the commissioner, the athletic directors, the university presidents, the chancellors, they were divided. And when it came down to a vote, it was not unanimous, but there was more support for canceling fall sports. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Urban Meyer was doing interviews from his yacht. I don't think it was on the water. I heard that it was docked. So a friend of mine who works for a media outlet said that he was doing interviews on his yacht that was docked. Gosh. What about the football practices supposed to be going through? Anyway, Urban Meyer was asked on the Big Ten Network whether or not spring football was a possibility, and his response very quickly was no chance.
You can't ask a player to play 2 seasons within a calendar year. When I first heard that, I said that. I don't see that happening. When I hear that, the body, in my very strong opinion, is not made to play 2 seasons within 1 calendar year. That's 2,000 competitive reps, and football's a physical, tough sport. So I really don't see that happening.
Urban Meyer, yacht or no yacht, right now part of the decision in the Big Ten that would take out football and the other fall sports. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Our toll-free line is 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. It's sponsored by Geico. Did you know right now Geico offers an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies? And that's on top of what Geico can already save you. So what are you waiting for? Visit geico.com to learn more. 855-212-4227. Mixed reaction on our Facebook page and on Twitter. Some of you believe that it's the right thing for all college sports to be completely shuttered. Others of you are saying it sucks. I'm definitely going to miss it. Some of you are kind of in the same place where I am, which is believing that the structure of a sport and the structure with the testing and the medical care and the protocols would actually be safer for the athletes than if they are left without that structure and that accountability and that discipline. And so at this point, you've got multiple conferences that are still moving forward, but we're down to fewer than 400 scheduled games in college football this fall. On Twitter, A-Law Radio, and then also on our Facebook page. So the question is asked, how can you expect young people, 18, 19, 20-year-olds, to stick to the protocols when Major League Baseball players aren't doing it? Now, I don't think it's fair to brand all Major League Baseball players as irresponsible. That's not fair. But certainly, the Marlins and the Cardinals got burned badly by a couple of poor decisions. And then you look at the Indians situation. At least at this point, it doesn't appear as though they have been burned by the poor choices of Zach Plesac and Mike Clevinger. However, it's yet another cautionary tale. Do you really want to be, and by you, I mean just you as a group, let's use the NFL for example. Do NFL players really want to stand in front of their entire locker rooms and apologize for screwing up and putting the whole season at risk? Or even worse, know that they have lost the trust and the respect of their teammates? Because that's what's happening with the Indians. If you haven't heard the story, I would recommend Bob Nightingale's his column on USA Today, but his details, he kind of takes you inside what happened with the Indians. So Plesac is from the Chicago area, and after he won his game on Friday night, I believe it was, he and Clevinger snuck out. They wanted to celebrate. They actually got by the baseball personnel, the baseball security teams at the hotel. They snuck out. But Plesac got caught coming back into the hotel early Saturday morning. Somehow Clevinger did not. So Plesac was told to pack up his gear and get out. He was shipped back to Cleveland immediately. For whatever reason, Clevinger did not get caught. And I'm not sure if he admitted it or it came out later. Maybe there was a videotape. I don't know. Maybe Zach told on him, just thinking, hey, our team's at risk, we might as well come clean. The details about that are a little fuzzy. We don't know where they went, what they were doing, and how it is that Clevinger didn't get caught when Plesac did. Could you imagine those conversations? Especially if they're drunk. Hey, I'll go in this door, you go in that door. We can't be seen together. Oh my gosh. Anyway, so Zach gets sent home. Clevinger somehow stays with the team and flies home on the plane on Saturday night. Just think about how bad this could have gotten. If Clevinger had the virus, I shouldn't say had. I guess there's still a possibility he could have it. Both guys are sequestered now. But let's say he caught it, got on the team plane, and it spread throughout the entire Indians roster. Are you freaking kidding me? Did you not learn anything from what happened with the Marlins or the Cardinals? The Cardinals haven't played in 2 weeks. Their season, in essence, destroyed. And somehow Clevinger thought it was a good idea to get on the team plane and pretend like everything was okay.
What in the f*** was that?
Thank you. Could you imagine standing in front of Aaron Rodgers and being like, yo, man, I didn't think your season was all that important, so I went out. And then I lied to it and flew on the team charter. Hope you don't mind. Oy. I mean, the rest of the Indians are ticked. If you read some of their comments, or I would love for you to hear from a fellow pitcher, Adam Plutko. So he is one of these guys who's speaking out and speaking out harshly about these two and their choices and what it means for the rest of their squad.
They hurt us bad. They lied to us. They sat here in front of you guys and publicly said things that they didn't follow through on. and it's going to be up to them. I'll let them sit here and tell you how they're going to earn their trust back. I don't need to put words in their mouths. You know, the term that I continue to hear, and excuse my language, is grown-ass man, right? So those grown-ass men can sit here and tell you guys what happened and tell you guys what they're going to do to fix it, and I don't need to do that for them.
Grown-ass man. And yet, even as adults, sometimes, whether we're grown-ass men or grown-ass women, we make horrid choices. It was one bad decision after another. You leave the hotel, you go out, then you sneak back in. Then Clevenger decides he can get away with it, so he doesn't say anything. He flies home on the team plane, even after his buddy's been sent home immediately. Oh my gosh. And to put it in context, there's a month and a half left in the regular season. I suppose with the expanded playoffs, the Indians, who are currently below 500, could make the postseason, but there's a month and a half left. Are you kidding me? You can't not party for a month and a half.
Sorry.
Ooh, could you imagine standing in front of Tom Brady and being like, yo, man, I couldn't do it. I had to go out and party. I had to go get wings at Magic City.
I plead the fifth.
He will fight you. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. I keep thinking, like, there's no way anybody else is going to risk it. And I feel like at this point, who else would? But maybe there is one in every crowd. Now, there are positive stories in sports when it comes to the virus. And I'm so glad that we were able to tell you last week that both Matthew Stafford and Gardner Minshew, I don't know how this happens with two starting quarterbacks of 32 teams in the NFL, but they both had false positives. And so neither one of them, even though they hit the COVID-19 reserve list, neither one of them actually had the virus. And Matt Stafford, you know, he and his family, they raised some concerns about the way he was sent home and the fact that it went public. And his family actually was hearing it in their neighborhood and their communities over a false positive.
I'm glad that it happened to me at this point, and the league is doing what they can to try and change and make sure, you know, this doesn't happen again. So. But I'm sure there's going to be another problem down the road at some point that, you know, we're going to have to figure out when we get there. That's the way this has been for the last 6 months. We've all been living it, you know, whether we're a league trying to test thousands of players or, you know, just trying to go out and get our groceries. So, but, I'm glad it got settled. Glad it's over with. I'm just happy to be, you know, in the building, you know, hanging with the guys, getting a little bit of normalcy back when it comes to football.
His wife had put on social media that that was one of the places where they encountered some resistance, was they were not allowed in a grocery store because he had tested positive falsely and it had gotten out. So Matt said, I'm glad it was me and not someone else. I'm glad that we can now kind of bring this issue to the forefront for the team so that not just the team, but the league, so that they can correct this. And you may have seen along the way a couple of times where there are some athletes who do not want their names out there. They can give their permission if they want their names to be publicly shared, but others have said they don't want their names out there. Now, if a player hits the COVID-19 reserve list, it doesn't automatically mean he tested positive. It may be that he has been in contact with someone who did or might have come in contact with the virus himself. So it's complicated, but at the same time, it's uber cautious for a reason. I don't know if you guys saw the first episode of Hard Knocks. This is Hard Knocks Los Angeles. So it's Rams and it's Chargers. And I've seen this video. It's hysterical. Some of the players going through the testing, the nasal swabs for the first time, and how uncomfortable it is and how they really balk at it. But one of the revelations that came up on this first edition of Hard Knocks is Anthony Lynn revealing that he tested positive for the virus. Now, he didn't give any details, and he actually said that he hadn't told anyone. And so he was on camera telling a colleague, I didn't tell nobody, I feel like I'm back. But he said that he was initially going through some body aches and some pain, and he actually was watching a golf tournament, heard them describe a golfer as having the same symptoms and decided he better get tested. I didn't exactly say when this was, but just that he's fine now. But the fact that he revealed this to his players over a Zoom call that was then picked up on Hard Knocks is kind of surreal. So that's three of the NFL head coaches Doug Peterson with the Eagles, who is still sequestered. At least I haven't heard that he'd return to his team. He has to go through multiple tests. Obviously, Sean Payton was the first, and he got over it back in, I think that was in March, late March, early April. And now Anthony Lynn, who said that he tested positive, but that he's good now. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. It has been cool. I've had the NFL Network up in the studio all night, and when I'm flipping through channels, if there's a lull in one of the games I'm watching, I flip to the NFL Network because it is great to see these guys out there on the field. It's really cool to see them working out. And they're not having full squad practices, but they're running through drills. And to me, that's it gives me some hope, not to mention it. As Matthew Stafford said, it kind of makes you feel like there's a little bit of normal mixed in with the craziness of 2020. And then you hear Pat Mahomes talk about workouts and you think, oh, yeah, football. All right. I remember what this feels like.
Thing with where we're at now versus last year, I feel like a lot of the guys are still in physically the shape that they were in or even better shape. I think guys really took it upon themselves during this quarantine time to keep their bodies in shape. And so that was, I don't want to say surprising to see, but that was good to see, exciting to see when you come into camp and everybody is right where we left off at.
Super Bowl MVP, Patrick Mahomes. Gosh, that feels like a lifetime ago. It wasn't, but it feels like a lifetime ago. And now here we are closer to the next season than we are to that Super Bowl, which, I mean, it was one of the last big sporting events before all the dominoes started to tumble. I would love, love, love for you to go back and listen to my conversation with longtime NFL GM Randy Mueller. He was with the Saints, the Dolphins, also in the front office of the Chargers and the Seahawks. And he joined us from Seattle earlier in the show, actually last hour. And he was so good about the NFL and what makes it different from college football. So why he believes the NFL can actually push through with the season. He also called the NFL militant, which I thought was a great way to describe the National Football League. I mean, they are not messing around. And why he thinks that they're in a better spot than some of the other sports. So definitely check that out. I also asked him about the evaluation and talent evaluation process with college football being canceled. So it's good stuff. On our podcast, you can find the entire show, afterhoursamylawrence.com. Thanks for listening to CBS Sports Radio.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.